providential history and the termination of their links. In the foundation of faith, there is a period to make the foundation of faith. I will explain about the numbers in this period. During this time, so does God live in history? And if God lives in history, then how does He perform His works? And what kind of principles does He work with? So we have parallel providential periods. We have to know what parallel providential periods means. We find cases where the various circumstances of a period in history are repeated in similar form during a later age. This term was first used by a famous historian named Arnold Joseph Toynbee, but he could not reveal the reason why the ages seem to repeat themselves. There is an age of the individual, age centering on the family, centering on the nation, the world, and the macrocosm, or the universe. The content is the same, just the scope is different. The function is the same. And what is the reason for the providential periods to come about? God's will, the completion of God's will, is absolute. And so God does His portion of responsibility, and man has to do his portion of responsibility. But when a central figure fails his responsibility, his failure must be restored through indemnity again by another person to carry on his mission. And man restores this. At that time, it was already on a bigger scope. So, restore those periods on an individual, family, national, world, and macrocosm level, universe level. So, what are the main factors which determine the formation of parallel providential periods? The foundation of faith is a period to separate good from evil and restore goodness. So there is the central figure and object for the condition and numerical period of indemnity. And the foundation of substance is to restore dominion. So there is the central figure and people. And the condition is to restore, indemnity condition to remove the fallen nature. Types of parallel providential periods. There is the formation level providential periods. the growth stage level providential periods and parallel providential periods and the completion stage parallel providential periods. From the From Adam's time to Abraham's time was the age to lay the foundation for the restoration of was the age to, of the providence to lay the foundation for restoration. This was the foundation for the, to lay the Messiah, the period to lay the foundation for the Messiah on the family level. And even though the children of Abraham, Jacob, and Esau were successful in making the family level foundation for the Messiah, because Abraham failed in his symbolic offering, the children of Abraham had to indemnify the lost foundation through 400 years. And so, the foundation for the Messiah was laid on the family level, but it had to be laid on a greater level, national level, through Abraham's descendants. Until the time of Jesus, from Abraham to the time of Jesus, is called the age of the providence of restoration. This is the age of image parallels. The age before that is the age of symbolic parallels. And the age between Jesus and the order of second advent is the period to lay the foundation for the Messiah on the world level. This is what Christianity has been doing to carry out. And this is the age of the prolongation of providence restoration, the age of substantial parallels. And then let's look at the number of generations or years in the periods of the age of the parallel providential periods. Mankind is to go through the growth period and not just grow in form, but their content has to grow. Adam was to fulfill the foundation of faith, foundation of substance in his life, and go the growth period to completion and unite with God and mature his character. Both Adam and Eve, man and woman, have to go through the growth period, and they need to build the individual four-position foundation centered on God. And so building the four-position foundation on all three stages makes the number 12. And number four, number four is to build the number the four-position foundation on four stage of Earth, I guess. Or no, build, the number four is the number of the four-position foundation, and number seven. I mean, number 21 is a completion number 7, and number 7 means the heaven number 3 plus earth number 4 times 3 stages. Number 40 is a 4-position foundation times 10 stages. We need to offer a tithing to stand on God's side. A tithing of all of our, every aspect of our life. A tithing of our time. 10%. Our offering to God doesn't mean that, oh, we have to give an offering at church, so we just take something out of our pocket or our wallet at the time of service, but this is a symbol of offering my body and my heart. This is what it means to offer tithing. So to go out and witness is offering yourself and your heart and your soul and body. And then when we have something nice to eat, we offer it to God first. If we have like a present that somebody sent us, a food, then we take the best thing and we offer it to the church. When we bring our offering, should be happy and grateful to make this offering. But you shouldn't think that what I have is so small, and even if I bring it to the church, nobody's going to be happy with it. You shouldn't think like that. You might only have a small envelope with a little bit of money in it, but if you prepare this with all your heart and want to give this offering to God, and you want this to help God's providence, to further God's providence, this should be the first feelings that you have. This becomes the pure heart that we can connect with God and unite with God in heart. This is our lifestyle. When we go to church, we need to bring something. Our hearts need to, we need to bring God's word for spiritual food and something else for physical food. We need to become the owners of the church. So we go there and we are so concerned. Does the church need to be cleaned? Does the minister need something? Is the minister's family okay? Does the children of the minister need new shoes? Is somebody going to do this? Are you going to just wait for somebody else to do this? No, you have to be the owner of the church. And it's not enough to just do what you're told, but you need to be the owner and take interest in the church or what is happening in God's providence. If we have the heart to offer new money that Satan hasn't used yet, that would be good. If we don't have that, and we can have the heart that we want to iron our money to when we offer it to God and offer a pure offering of our heart and our body. You shouldn't regret when you make an offering, thinking, oh, there's so many things I could have bought with that money. You shouldn't hold attachments to that money or that offering. So, we need to restore the 9 stages or go the 9 stages of the growth period and reach the 10th stage of completion. So this is the period we need to fulfill these numbers internally. So the number 40 is the 4-position foundation times 10 stages. And we need to fulfill all these numbers, the content of these numbers. Adam needs to reach perfection, and he does this by resembling God. This period of growth is the period to mature. God made all things, pouring his heart into them, and he made all things as an unfolding of mankind. So, and then he said mankind as the owner of all things. But in order to receive the qualification to govern all things, we need to have created something. We need to create our character by upholding God's word and receiving God's shimjung. Shimjung is within God's words, and then shimjung is within our lives so that we can live our lives centering on true love, that everything we do is centering on true love. What is the most center of man's life? This is absolute sex. What is the center of woman's life? This is absolute sex. That is why we need to form a 4-position foundation centering on absolute sex. And unless we do this, no matter how much we might look like we're prosperous, we're not fulfilling the core essence of our life. We need to mature. If Adam had reached perfection, then Satan couldn't come into being, and man wouldn't have fallen. The kingdom of heaven would have started then. But because Adam fell, then God had to start his providence restoration, and God called Noah 10 generations after Adam. This took 1,600 years. Adam lived around 930 years. And so around 6 generations lived up to like 800 years. But these people still were living in away from God, so God decided to start anew from the number 10. 10 is the number of starting anew. And so God worked to separate Satan, and so Noah's time, he worked to build the ark for 120 years, and then there are 40 days of the flood judgment, 21 days till the waters receded. 21 days to send out the raven and the birds, and then 40 days until the waters receded and they left the ark. But because the number 120 is to restore the number 12 in Adam's time. Number 12 is to build the foundation of faith, meaning to build the individual foundation of faith on the four-position foundation on 3 stages, like in Adam's time. This took 120 years. God is a being of principle, so he works through formula and numbers, very logical, scientific being. But because of Noah's failure, then in order to restore the 10 generations lost from Adam to Noah, then God called Abraham 10 generations later. The elder son was claimed by Satan. And so God needs to restore the elder son position from Satan. So God asked Abraham to fulfill the three offerings. But because the failure of Abraham's sacrifice, then the disciples of Abraham had to suffer for 400 years and to indemnify what was lost through the failure of the offering. And so Abraham then offered Isaac and finally fulfilled the foundation of faith. And then the foundation of substance was fulfilled by Jacob and Esau's unity. Then Jacob went out to Haran. And for 21 years, and he came back to Canaan. So, first, Jacob, it took 40 years to restore, to gain the birthright from Esau, then 21 years to go into Haran, and then 21 years in Haran, and then 40 years to go to Canaan.
Because Jacob could fulfill his responsibility, then he could indemnify the faults that were created during Adam's family. Everything could be restored through Jacob and Abraham's family. So during Abraham's time, there were the different periods of 120 years, 40, 21, and 40. And these years were repeated again during Moses' time. He needed to bring his people out of Egypt in 120 years.
Moses guided the Israelites out of Egypt into Canaan, and it took 120 years of Moses' life, but Moses wasn't able to enter to Canaan in the end, even though he had served God for so long. So we can see that it doesn't matter how long we serve God, or we make effort to do the responsibility, but what matters is, do we fulfill the responsibility? And then, 400 years from Moses' time, God worked a providence to build the temple. So Saul, he set up Saul to be the first king of the United Nations of Israel,
And Saul was a good man in the beginning and inspired, but then he failed and didn't build the temple. And finally, the temple was built in Solomon's time. David couldn't build it because his hands were so soaked in blood. And Solomon finally built the temple, but then Solomon allowed his wives that came from all over the world to bring their own idols into the temple to worship them there. So in the beginning, Solomon was a righteous king, but then he started to become adulterous. David, too, was a good man in the beginning, but then when he became the king, then he started becoming adulterous too. David saw a woman bathing on the rooftop, and she looked so beautiful in the moonlight. But this was the wife of the general of his army, Uriah. Her husband was out fighting in the war. And so David took her and slept with her, and she got pregnant. This was a very big deal. So he ordered his general Uriah to come back and sleep with her so that he could think that it was his baby. But Uriah refused to sleep with his wife because this was a time of war. And the Israelites in that time didn't refrain from having sexual relationships while they were fighting so that God could protect and they could win the war. And then David sent Uriah to the forefront to be killed. This baby was Solomon. And Solomon was a very wise king. When Solomon was king, two women brought a baby before him, and they were fighting about who was the real birth mother. And then Solomon said to bring a sword and said, let's cut the baby in half so that you can both have half. And then the real birth mother said, listening to what the women were saying, it didn't seem like they would give up the baby or the truth would come from the women's words. So Solomon said to bring a knife, cut the baby in half. And the real mother couldn't believe what was happening, and she just wanted the baby to live. So she said, give the baby to her, the other lady. But the false mother didn't really care so much. And so she said, yeah, sure, split the baby. So the baby was given to the real mother. But because Solomon fell into adultery, so many women
and defiled the temple, then God couldn't work through Solomon anymore. And upon Solomon's death, because the temple was lost, then God had to work a providence again to divide north and south because evil entered into the temple. So he had to divide good from evil. And this was the period of the divided kingdoms of north and south. Then there was a period of the exile and people going and the invasion of Babylon and Syria. And then when the people came back, they came back with Ezra and prepared for the coming of the Messiah at the time of Malachi. And they prepared the people to receive the Messiah when he came. But instead of receiving the Messiah, Jesus, the people were disbelieved in Jesus and put him to the cross. And because they put Jesus to the cross, lost all the foundation and committed the biggest sin in the world, and the people, the Christians that followed Jesus, had to go through 400 years of persecution in the Roman Empire, and then went through the period of the regional church leadership, and then the Augustine realized Christianity, recognized Christianity, and then Charlemagne recognized this to be the national religion. Charlemagne needed the help of the Pope. They had to unite with the Pope. Charlemagne gave the Pope a place in the Vatican, and so the Pope was so grateful that he gave Charlemagne his blessing. But Charlemagne's couldn't, the unity between the Pope and Charlemagne didn't last, so that is why this wasn't successful, and God had to divide the kingdom, the united Christian kingdom, into east and west. And the evil, when there's divided into east and west, or good and evil,
the evil they need to be united again. And just like democracy and communism, but these need to be united centering on God. And then the papacy became so corrupt that the papacy went into exile and they returned. But when the church pope was selling indulgences, then Martin Luther proposed to reform the Catholic Church. So but then the Catholic Church kicked Luther out, and so Luther built the Protestant movement to fight with the Catholic movement. This lasted for 30 years of blood. But because of this religious reformation, this started the beginning of the preparation for the second advent of Christ. He's going over the whole chart again. And showing that these three parallels are, these three ages are the symbolic period from Adam to Abraham, and from Abraham to Jesus is the image parallel period, and the period from Jesus to Christ's second advent is the substantial parallel period. So the parallels between the two ages and the Providence Restoration. These two periods are parallel periods from Abraham to Jesus and from Jesus to the second advent. This is the period Moses in Abraham's time, because of the failure in the offering, the descendants of Abraham had to suffer in Egypt for 400 years. And then Moses led them out of Egypt together with God's word and the tabernacle. So it's the age of the judges. Then through appointing Saul, anointing Saul as the king, this started the United Kingdom of Saul, David, and Solomon's reign. These three generations needed to unite and fulfill God's will, just as in the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob shared one will. But they didn't, and eventually Satan entered into the temple, and the temple was defiled, so God had to work a dispensation to separate evil
from the temple. So this was the divided kingdoms of north and south. God split the nation. And in this time, they were still worshiping. They had high priests, prophets, and kings centering on the temple. But then the So the first temple was defiled, and then the second temple that was built in Charlemagne's time was also defiled. So these temples, in order to restore these temples, God, Father said to bring, we have to bring these temples to Korea, bring them to the Chonbokgung, the palace to receive heavenly fortune. Two parents started a new providence in Hawaii that has nothing to do with the fall in this age now. Two parents are working so hard to fulfill God's will, and so we have to do to unite with true parents to make a temple for all people to worship, all people in the world to worship. This is the third temple that God could never have. God's temple was always defiled. We need to make the temple that all people can come to. If the people living in true parents' age don't help true parents, then they have incredible indemnity waiting for them. So we need to bring all the people, the world, to come to true parents, to come to the temple, and support building the temple. And so during the time of Malachi, when the temple had been destroyed already, Malachi came and built the second temple. The high priests and prophets that were worshiping the temple lost faith and became corrupt. What does Catholicism? Catholicism is to uphold the will of Jesus to build a universal church. But instead of upholding that will and fulfilling their purpose, the leaders, the monastic leaders, and the
Pope and the King, they became corrupt. And that is why Luther came to perform the Protestant Reformation. And they started Protestantism. The Messiah comes, and when he comes, he needs to unite Catholicism and Protestantism to fulfill their original mission. There are six stages of parallels, and we need to see the content of see the content of why they are parallel periods.
Okay, so well, that's first in the 400 years of slavery in Egypt, we can see one, Abraham first made a mistake in his offering, and so this led to Satan's invasion. And then this had to be later restored through indemnity. And then second, Jacob's 12 children, he had 12 children and 70 kinsmen, and he had to bring them to Egypt, where they were in slavery in Egypt for 400 years. This was as a punishment of faith for Abraham's mistake. And three, the first Israel, there they had to conduct circumcision, sacrifices, and Sabbath in order to make a lifestyle of separation from Satan. And then Moses had the three signs and the 10 plagues, and finally it led to the surrender of the Pharaoh, and then to Exodus. And then later, after the slavery, there were the 10 commandments, the core of the Old Testament, and the completion of the tabernacle, leading to the preparation for the Messiah. Okay, and these the parallel years to the 400 years of slavery in Egypt are the 400 years of persecution in the Roman Empire. And the Jewish nation's mistake was in not honoring Jesus, and this led to Satan's invasion. And so, in order to restore the Jewish people's mistake, they had to go through this 400-year period. And then Jesus's, parallel to Jacob's 12 children and 70 kinsmen, Jesus had his 12 disciples and 70 followers who had to suffer persecution in Rome as punishment and to strengthen their faith. And this was a time of the second Israel where baptism, martyrdom, Sabbath, and Holy Communion were conducted. So this was a way to have a lifestyle of separation from Satan. And during this time, there's a lot of spiritual miracles and power. Emperor Constantine, he recognized Christianity as the official religion. And in AD 392, Emperor Theodosius I designated it as the state religion. And then after this persecution period, the gospel became the core of the New Testament, and there was the formation of the temple, the formation of the early church, which led to the preparation for the Messiah. Okay, and to go into the next period is the 400 years of the judges. The missions of the judges were through the prophets, priests, and kings. And the Israelites, through entering Canaan. After entering Canaan, they divided the land among many clans and tribes. And then after settling into these villages, they united around the judges. And the people consolidated into a chosen nation and established a simple feudalistic society. The Israelites should have exalted the tabernacle, and they should have remained obedient to the direction of the judges. However, instead of destroying the seven Canaanite tribes, the Israelites lived among them and were influenced by their customs, and this brought great confusion to their faith. And the parallel period is the 400 years of regional church leadership. The people who should have, the church leaders of this mission should have been monastic, the pope, and kings. And then during this time, there's the German migration into the West in the 4th century, the spread of Christianity to Germans, and in the new land of Western Europe, God raised up Germanic tribes as the new chosen people and established an early form of feudal society, which later matured into feudalism of the Middle Ages. And Christians during this time, they were supposed to exalt the church as the image of the Messiah and follow the directions of his bishops and monastic leaders. However, they became influenced by the German paganism, which brought great confusion to their faith, to their Christian faith. And then the next period was the 120 years of the United Kingdom. And this is when Prophet Samuel anointed Saul as the first king of Israel. This was 800 years after Abraham. And the ideal of the tabernacle was to make the completion of the temple. Solomon was to build God's temple and the kingdom. Anyway, continuing, during the United Kingdom period, there was the failure of King Saul in Abel's position. He failed to complete the foundation of substance. As King Saul, he disobeyed the commandments of God given through the prophet Samuel. And then King Solomon left the position of Abel for the substantial offering when he fell into lust with his many foreign wives, and he turned away from God to worship pagan gods. And this led to the division of the kingdom, the North and South Kingdom. And parallel to this period of the United Kingdom is the 120 years of the Christian Empire. There's Pope Leo III. He crowned Charlemagne and blessed him as the first emperor of Christendom in 800 AD. And Charlemagne's empire realized the ideal of the Christian state as it set down in the City of God by St. Augustine. And during this time, the central figure of the foundation of faith was the emperor, and the pope was the figure for the spiritual empire, as the king was for the substantial empire. But the problem was that the emperors did not remain obedient to God's will, and they left the position of Abel for the substantial offering. And so this led to the failure of the foundation of substance. And then, in these 120 years, the Christian Empire began to divide in the third generation, and Charlemagne's grandson, Louis II and Charles II, they partitioned into three kingdoms, the East Franks, the West Franks, and Italy.
And
So they lost this tradition. Okay, and so then it this period was divided into the kingdom of the south and the north, 400-year period. And during this United Kingdom, the United Kingdom was divided in the third generation into two kingdoms. There were 10 tribes representing Cain. The kingdom of Israel, ruled by 19 kings for some 260 years. And then there were two tribes representing Abel. And these were the kingdom of Judah, ruled by 20 kings for 394 years. And the northern kingdom of Israel, which was founded by Jeroboam, who had lived in exile in the days of King Solomon. So these two tribes stuck together, the Abel tribes. But so during the 10 tribes of Cain, even though there were 19 kings, none of them, there were no great, very godly-centered kings. During Cain's time, even though its royal family changed 9 times, there was no king that was righteous in the sight of God. This was a time of a lot of confusion, a lot of changing within the royal families. And so God sent the prophet Elijah to them. And he, in a contest with 850 prophets of Baal and Asherah on Mountain Carmel, he prevailed when God sent fire upon the altar to send the other fake prophets away. And then there were other prophets, including Elisha, Jonah, Hosea, and Amos, who spread the word of God at the risk of their lives. And so later, God had the Assyrians destroy them and took away their qualification as the chosen people forever. And so now the province was centered on the southern kingdom of Judah, which was founded by Solomon's son, Rehoboam. So in this royal house, it continued in one dynastic line from David to Zedekiah, producing many righteous kings out of the 20 who ruled the kingdom for the 394 years. And there was also a succession of evil kings after King Josiah, which combined with the influence from, they were influenced by the northern kingdom, and this led to much idolatry and corruption. And consequently, God exiled these people to Babylon. Okay, but and during this period, God sent 4 great and 12 small prophets to move the nation to repentance and to internally reform. However, as the kings and the people did not heed the warnings of the prophets and they didn't repent, God chastised them externally by sending Gentile nations such as Assyria, and Babylon to attack them. And thus, Gentile nations took the people of Israel and Judah into exile and put an end to the monarchy in Israel. And this parallel period of 400 years of the divided kingdom of north and south are the 400 years of the divided kingdom of east and west. The Christian empire also began to divide in the third generation. Charlemagne's grandsons, they partitioned into 3 kingdoms, the East Franks, the West Franks, and Italy. West Frank was the Cain kingdom, and East Frank represented Abel. And this was under Otto the First's rule, the Holy Roman Empire. But as the papacy was corrupt, God sent prominent monks such as St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Francis of Assisi to admonish the papacy and promote internal reform of the church. But since the papacy and the church, they still didn't repent even after they sent such leaders to guide them on the right path. They sank further into corruption and immorality. And God chastised them externally by letting their people fight the Muslims in the Crusades. And so anarchic Christianity began to erode, and the papacy completely lost its prestige and credibility after repeated defeats of the Crusades, and Christianity, in the end, it lost its center of spiritual sovereignty. And then, next we'll look, there's the 210 years of Israel's exile and return. Nearly 70 years elapsed from the time King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon took into captivity King Jehoiachin and his royal family. And during this time, prophets including Daniel and Ezekiel and many other Israelites, until the fall of Babylon, appeared, and they were liberated by the royal decree of King Cyrus. But it took another 140 years for the exiles to return to their homeland in 3 waves until they were fully reformed into a nation united around the will of God and proclaimed in the messianic prophecies of Malachi. And this parallel period is the 210 years of papal exile and return. In 1309, Philip forced Pope Clement V to move the papacy from Rome to Avignon in southern France. And for 70 years, successive popes lived there, subject to the kings of France, until 1377, when Pope Gregory XI returned the papal residence to Rome. And after the return, 3 popes were opposed to one another and brought great confusion until the midst of the 15th century. and the papacy recovered the authority it lost in 1309. And the next, lastly, is the 400 years of preparation for the advent of the Messiah. This is the final period of restoration through indemnity in the 4,000-year providential history. The Israelites established the foundation of faith by repenting for their past sins of idolatry and by rebuilding what was destroyed by the king Nebuchadnezzar, and by reforming their faith based on Mosaic law under the guidance of Ezra. And on this basis, they began to prepare for the coming of the Messiah according to the word of the prophet. And so the first Israel had to suffer external hardships at the hands of Gentile nations such as Persia, Greece, and Egypt, Syria, and Rome, until they finally met Jesus. This is similar as Jacob's family when they met Joseph in Egypt. And then God sent the prophet Malachi to the chosen people 430 years beforehand to arouse them, to prepare them, and give them, arousing them a strong messianic expectation. And at this time, God encouraged the Jews to reform their religion and deepen their faith to make the internal preparations that were needed in order to receive the Messiah. And meanwhile, during this time, around the world, God was founding religions in different parts of the world, in different regions, in order to match the region and culture. These were preparations in order to internally receive the Messiah. For example, Buddha in India, Socrates in Greece, and Confucius in China.
Jesus came to Israel, and Israel was the chosen nation, and if Israel had united with Jesus, then the people of Israel would have gone to Rome and compassed all of Rome with Jesus would have led Rome. And then Rome would have spread to the whole world. Jesus' world's will would have spread to the whole world because Rome was made to be the place where all people wanted to go to, and all the world was connected to Rome. And so if Jesus' will could have spread to Rome, then it could spread to the whole world. The 400-year separation, 400-year preparation for the second advent of the Messiah. The providence through the period of 40 for the separation of Satan, there was a final period of restoration through indemnity in 6,000-year providential history. And after the papacy's return to Rome, medieval Christians established the foundation of faith by seeking to reform the Roman Church. And this was led by the Protestant Reformation, led by Martin Luther. The movement pierced the gloom of the medieval Europe with the light of the gospel and pioneered new paths of faith. The second Israel has had to walk a path of internal tribulations until they meet the Messiah of the second advent. The ideologies of the Renaissance and humanism and the Enlightenment as well as the call for religious freedom, which arose from the Reformation, have created a profusion of philosophies and theologies, causing great confusion in the Christian faith and turmoil in people's spiritual lives. Oh, beginning with the Renaissance, progress in virtually every field of human endeavor, including politics, economy, and culture and science, has increased at a rapid rate. Today, these fields have reached their zenith and have created a global environment conducive to the work of Christ at His second coming. And so the Christ of the second coming makes the third Israel, which is centering on the USA, and this, so if the third Israel can unite with Christ, then this can spread to the USA, and then once this reaches the USA, it can spread to the world.